Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we will return to our special interview with our in-studio, or actually on the phone choreographer, if you will, Gene Schweitzer, and talk more about education and where we're going in the 21st century, heading 2 years into the second decade. It's amazing stuff. Right now, we're heading into a new sign here shortly, but Beth McDonald, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, which is quite a mouthful, I must say, is here to talk to us, of course, about, we were talking Leo, I think it was, but I brought up the subject of Mars last week, especially because of the rover, or whatever, I don't know if it was a Taurus or a Taurig landing on Mars, to check out the place and see if there's enough parking space for us. But let's find out a little bit more about how you see Mars in this relationship. I mean, we're really focused on it. I mean, for a long time, it was the moon. And I don't even know what role the moon plays as far as astrology is concerned, or I do know astronomy, but astrology. I'm curious as to the role Mars plays in this whole gambit.
Well, that was an excellent question, and I love it when you give me these kinds of little assignments where I can go play in the books and research a bunch of stuff and get back to you on it. In astrology, the ancients ascribed to the planet Mars the male archetype, the divine sacred male energy. And the primary reason for that was because Mars was so bold and so bright and so erratic in its orbit. It was more elliptical than circular. Now we know that most of the planets are, but Mars is more so than most. And because of that energy, Mars was said to be the pioneer, the innovator, the strong one, the person who kind of boldly goes where nobody else can go. And so when there's a lot of emphasis on Mars, there's a lot of that energy to be harnessed. It's a good time to be trying new things and doing new things. And in the last, how this plays out for space exploration, I think, has to do with the transit of the planet Uranus, which rules technology and space exploration, which moved a couple of years ago into the sign of Aries, which is ruled by Mars. And so a lot of astrologers call this a time of revolution, a mm-hmm. revolution of consciousness, revolutions in science, revolution in our awareness, and our ability to kind of harness our technology to serve higher consciousness.
Hmm. You know, a thought occurred to me that we'd do a whole lot better to be doing this on television, because to be able to describe the movement of the astrological signs as far as where the planets are at a given point in time and so on and so forth, kind of hard on radio, but it reminds me of course, also the multiple rings of the Mayan calendar. I mean,
right.
You know, each
right.
ring moves at a different rate
right.
and so on and so forth. So it's hard to convey that a lot of times, but nonetheless, your point is that we are in that phase, and it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong here, is it that we're heading into a new technological, not updating process? We've had enough with the updates, but innovation. In other words, we're actually
right.
going to be doing some absolutely new things, even if it means sending a man and or woman to Mars or another probe out to Uranus or some of the other planets in our solar system, or even just checking out some of the space between therein.
Not only that, but I think it'll be easier to do this sort of thing now. There will be fewer failures. You know, how many times did we send something to Mars before it actually worked and started sending back information?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think the discoveries we make will grow in leaps and bounds because we will have more success in our efforts.
And there are more people doing it, or I should say more countries, because my understanding is that China has its own space program it's working on. Of course, some of the countries in the former Soviet Union, I don't even know what to call it anymore, are still involved in some level, because that's one of the ways now, that the only way, I guess, that we can get to the space station is using the Soviets' rocketry. And India, I believe, is also in the process of starting, if they haven't already, their own space program, and other countries as well.
And that's what's so fascinating about this time, this Uranus and Aries that's been going on for about 2 years. It'll go on for about three more. All these different nations now of our global village have their own programs, and with a different priority. Mm-hmm. Some of them are more towards the moon and space stations, and we're really interested right now in Mars. We've pretty much curtailed everything else that we know of, or that's public knowledge, and we've really shifted our emphasis.
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing this, we can cover more ground if everybody's working on a different, slightly different priority,
a slightly
different area.
And it sounds to me like there isn't going to be another Neil Armstrong, because we have so many other people working on it, and it's less important who gets there first as much as is the goal of just getting there.
Well, this is where I'm out of my realm. I'm not part of NASA.
I understand.
They deem to be important.
But the paradigms that are shifting here on this planet are shifting in a way. I'd heard it said that during the NASA days, they weren't going to reveal a lot of the information as far as what they found. I mean, they revealed a lot. Whereas I've heard that China, as they begin their exploration, as a matter of fact, I believe they're even thinking of going back to the moon, they're going to tell everybody everything, which I think is freaking out this government, because apparently there's some stuff that they don't want us to know about. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is part of the process of first contact. I mean, legitimate, publicized first contact with, you know, other life in the universe.
That could be. That could be.
Anyway, that's kind of a side note. We're
deep
also
thoughts there, Richard.
Deep thoughts. We're heading into a new sign here very shortly. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have been exploring the sign of Leo, and coming up on Wednesday, the 22nd of August, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, the sun moves from Leo into Virgo, according to the Western astrology, and it will be there for a month until the fall equinox on September 22nd, when it moves into the sign of Libra.
Okay.
So starting next week, we'll be exploring a whole new sign, the sign of Virgo, and so be thinking about that. If you have some specific questions, if there's any kind of aspect of Virgo you want to cover, you just let me know and we'll rock and roll.
And a real quick acknowledgement to my father, who just celebrated his 81st birthday on Monday the 13th.
Aww.
And very happy that he is still with us and still alive and kicking and doing well and putzing around with his computers and getting viruses and all the fun stuff that that keeps him excited. So I'm very happy to have the opportunity still to connect with him and my mother as well. And as a matter of fact, 56 years married back in June. So quite an accomplishment having put up with six children. So very interesting stuff. BethMcDonaldConsulting.com is the website, and 963-0842 is your phone number if people want to get more information, would like to get a reading on their chart, and as well as maybe ask some further questions that we haven't had a chance to address yet here on this program.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be back in just a moment.